Hey guys, welcome back. It's Rachel.
And Katie.
And Josh.
And today our theme or topic of part 3 of Fahrenheit 451 is life lessons.
Hope you guys enjoy this podcast. Okay, so I have a story for today, for today's theme, life lessons. So I had this one really good friend, Christian Fisher. He went to my school and my church, and he was one of my really good friends. But then his dad's in the military, so he had to move away. And it made me really sad, and I realized that I probably hadn't been spending enough time with him and taking him for granted a little bit. I thought that he might have always been there. And I really miss him, and I kind of wish that he would come back, but that's kind of part of the moral of the story. Like, you never really know what you have until it's gone. I think that's a bit what Montag realized with, like, his city and Mildred and everything. So, moving on to a bit of a lighter topic. Today we have Rachel versus Katie for the 30-second recap competition. Are you ready, guys?
Yep.
Yay.
Am I going first?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Hey, you go first.
Okay. And Montag's house gets burned down after Beatty finds the books in his house. Montag kills Beatty, and then Montag runs to Faber for help. The hound is sent after Montag, and that makes Montag lose hope a lot because the hound never fails missions. Montag gets in the river and he throws off the search party. He finds a group of people who are in his same shoes, and then a bomb hits his city and he remembers where him and Mildred met.
Wow, that was really good with it was really good. It definitely covered a lot of things. So, all right, let's reset this. Okay. And Montag kills Beatty. Now he's on the run and the hound is after him, so he has to try to cover up his scent to try and stay away from the hound, which tries to get him at all costs. Montag, while he's on the run, he runs into a bunch of professors, writers, people that know literature very well, and he stays and relates with them, and bomb blows up the city and he starts to miss Mildred.
Great. So, is there anything, Josh, do you think there's
anything we missed? No, not really. I think you guys hit all the details of the story. I don't know who won that one. I think maybe Katie won, because she was a bit smoother.
That's true.
No, but you both did a really good job.
Thanks.
So guys, now we have an actual voicemail from one of our podcast listeners, Aaron. Here it is.
Hi guys, Aaron here. So while I was listening to your podcast, Rachel said a really interesting thing about how firemen's get an itch, quote unquote, at a point about wanting to like collect the books. And I found that really interesting because I've noticed certain itches throughout the rest of the book in Montag. So I'm really glad you said that because it really brought a new perspective to me into part two. And my one question is that Katie said something about Mildred knowing that when she called the firemen and reported Montag's books, that they were going to burn down her entire house and she didn't want to lose all of her material items, but she only wanted to lose the books. But my question to you, Katie, is how do you think she would accomplish that? Or how do you think if Mildred do that, what did she think out? What was her thought process? Was she really that upset with the books that she would care to do that? Well, thank you guys. Bye. Love the podcast.
That was great, Aaron. Thanks. So we think the question you're kind of asking us is like, what do you think made Mildred, like, what do you think Montag did that set Mildred over the edge to turn him in? I think it was maybe like when wait, was that the right question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think it was like when Montag was like reading the stories to Mildred and her three friends. I mean, I think that definitely, it didn't start it, but it was like a big part of it, because I feel like Mildred wouldn't want her house burned down, but she just wanted the books to be gone. Like, she was almost afraid of them, and I think having them in her house for so long, she just kept building fear, and lots of things in the book made her, like, when Montag first showed her the books, then she kind of, like, backed away, didn't she? Like, and was, like, really hesitant at first to, like, even go near them.
Yeah, that's a really valid point, and I almost think that, like, with Montag mentioning something about the books with her friends, she's like, is this just how it's gonna be now? Is this how he's gonna act? And I really do think that she kind of set aside her marriage when it did come to that, and I don't think she learned that, that, you know, love is, like, you when you're married, it's like a promise you make, and that's definitely a life lesson she never learned. And she just got to the point where it's like, if this is how it's going to be, I'm just going to leave, I'm going to call, and it's going to be over.
Yeah, I think the people in that Fahrenheit 451 world don't really care about other people that much. Like, Mrs. Bowles, is how you say it, I think?
Yeah.
She was talking about her children, and what she does is just put them in school, and then whenever they come home, she just puts them in the parlor to watch TV. She doesn't care about them at all. She even said that if one of them kicked her, she would kick back, which is kind of really messed up when you think about today.
Kind of really messed up. Yeah, when I thought of that question, I never thought of that part of where they, like, just don't care about their children.
Yeah, it's definitely different from what it is now. Definitely doesn't relate to the world. So my first question is, without books in their society, will it be harder to realize their mistakes and learn life lessons?
I think absolutely. Books are a really important part of learning life lessons and kind of putting yourself in someone else's shoes and looking at life from a different perspective. I think without books, our society would be so much more ignorant and so much more kind of less accepting, because books really allow you to put yourself in someone else's shoes and learn life lessons.
Yeah, on page 108, it was like at the beginning of Fahrenheit 451, or at the beginning of part 3, Mildred, this is when Mildred is like running away from Montag after she turned him in. She says, poor family, oh, everything gone now. She didn't even like talk to Montag, she just ran past him, and she was like, sad about her family being gone instead of her whole house like burning down. So I think that she didn't like have the knowledge to know what was important or not in her life.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a combination of not having books and then being completely controlled and absorbed by this this giant screen, the TV, the parlor. She spent so much time with it, she didn't know what was actually important, and then she didn't have any books to tell her what was important.
So another question I have that kind of relates to the theme is, like, why is it important that Guy remembers where him and Mildred met right before the bomb hit? Like, do you think something's important about that?
I think it kind of, like what I said earlier with not really ever knowing what you have until it's gone, I think that kind of makes him realize that what Mildred and he could have been would have been so much better than what they were. Like, if he and Mildred had, like, kind of taken time to invest in their marriage instead of Mildred kind of staring at the screen all the time and just talking to her friends and not talking to Montag, I think they would have been a lot happier. And I think Montag is just kind of reflecting on that, and that you should really take the time to try and get to know people.
Definitely, that was a really good point there. And I definitely, like, what you said is you don't realize anything until it's gone. I think that's definitely something that anybody can have. Like, you say you don't like something or you don't agree with something, but then as soon as it's gone, it's like, oh wow, I think that definitely is, like, with their marriage, they never waited out all of the possibilities that they could have had until the very end. And I definitely, with him running, he definitely realized that there's a lot of differences between his society that he lived in and what he was running from.
Yeah, I think, like, well, there's a song that's, like, just like this. It's, like, I'm pretty sure it's called Let Her Go by Passenger. And it's like, he says everything that like happens, like you're in the moment, but then once you're not in it anymore, you like don't realize what you are missing and what you should have been like remembering about that time.
Gotcha.
So a question I have for you guys is, do you think Montag is a good or bad person and why?
I think Montag is more of a good person. I think that because when he realized that burning books was wrong, when he realized that withholding knowledge from people was wrong, he stopped doing it. And I think he tried to burn the books and stuff because he thought that was right. Like, you know, following the law and serving your country, kind of. But it was wrong. It turned out to be wrong. And Montag realized that, and then he stopped. And I think that's what makes him a good person.
Yeah, I definitely do agree with that. But I also think that people can be either can be good and bad. I don't think they can be one thing. And he definitely does show that, like, when he's talking about the books and how you said he knew that it was about all withholding information from people was bad. And that definitely shows that he knows, and but also he did burn books before and he didn't realize that. And he didn't knew the effects that it would be on people.
I agree with you guys that he was standing up for his like opinion, and I think that was a good thing. But the things that he did within that kind of made him seem like a bad person. Like on 123 and 124, when he hid the book in Mr. and Mrs. Black's house, just to kind of take the attention off of himself, which I think we kind of do in our world today. Like, if we're in trouble, we try and make somebody else get in trouble, like with your siblings. Like, if you're getting in trouble or you snitch on them, then they're like, well, this person did this too. Like, it really, like, makes you think that, I don't know, that he's a bad person. So a follow-up question I kind of just thought of for this was, like, how can you take what Montag's done in this book into your own life, and how can you learn from it?
Well, I mean, just generally, like, just how books have affected has affected Montag, and how, like, it's how we take for advantage the information that we have through books. And we also kind of take advantage that that we get to know so much, that we do live where we live, and we get to have all these privileges that we do have. And that's extremely important. I think that the author kind of like was like almost tipping at that, like how it's different from today and how he thinks it'll be different in the future and things like that.
Yeah, I agree with that I think we take for granted that we have so much freedom in our world, and when you read books like this, it really like makes you think of what it could be and how lucky we are to have a society like this.
So one question relating back to the theme is, what are some life lessons that Montag has learned?
I think he's definitely learned like that not everybody like wants to hear your opinion. Like, sometimes it's good to like share your opinion, but like other times it's not like ideal for your situation. Like, a lot of times in our world, like, we want to say something to our siblings or something, but we don't really want to. I don't know, that didn't make sense.
No, it did. I mean, just generally, that's just an important life lesson there for anyone. And another one that he, like, that one of the philosopher, writer, people that know a lot about literature or whatever, on page 148, one of the guys says, don't judge a book by its cover. I just think it's so ironic that he mentions that this cliche theme and how, like, he knows things about literature, but Montag doesn't, so obviously he doesn't notice that this is a cliche theme. And it's important because, like, every every person today, I hope, has realized that you should never judge a book by its cover, meaning everyone, everything, anything, and that he's never really noticed that. And I was in one of the follow-up questions that I had with that is, do you think that if he had known this theme, don't judge a book by its cover, would he have applied this in some of his decisions and how he thought of some people, even his marriage?
Yeah, I think he definitely would have. And kind of going back to your other question, like, I agree that don't judge a book by its cover is a really good one. But I think, like, that shows a lot of irony. And also, when he was talking to Faber, Faber was telling him a bunch of, like, cliched, ironic questions or, like, comments that, like, everybody knows today, but, like, they are taken so, like, seriously back then because they didn't have as much freedom and they didn't know that, like, don't judge a book by its cover and things like that.
Actually, I wanted to go back to Katie's statement about keeping your mouth shut sometimes, and I think that one of the times when Montag probably should have, like, applied that to his life was when he was talking about the poetry and he read that out loud at the party. If he hadn't done that, then he probably wouldn't have been reported by Mrs. Bowles. And I think that was something that Montag learned, definitely.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right, that's the last question of our final podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed this. And remember, the theme of this podcast was life lessons. See you guys later.